All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Africans Talk Football, coming live and direct here on Monday night. How's everybody feeling?
Static.
Doing well.
Good evening.
Good. I feel like it's been a minute since we all have been able to just to kick it with each other. It's been been a good season. It's been a long season. Thank you again to everybody out there who's been rocking with us from the jump, or whether or not you have been. If this is your first episode, thank you for tuning in with us, streaming live on YouTube, or even if you're not watching live, if you just catch us during the week on our Instagram snippets, on podcasts, thank you again for just listening in to just some friends talk about, you know, their favorite teams and talk about world football for a little bit. And we don't stop during the summer. We have the Euros. We have Copa America coming up as well. So there's going to be a lot of football this year round. Honestly, it's going to be a good summer as well. And a lot of good tournaments as far as what we've had this year. We still have FA Cup final coming up, Manchester Derby there. We still have some Champions League coming up as well. So, you know, the year is definitely not over, even though, you know, some of the other leagues have kind of died down. I believe today Leicester officially won the championship, so we'll be seeing them come up. And I think I said it last week, but the league doesn't feel like the league without Leicester. So I'm glad that they were able to win the championship and come back up. Right now, like in second place, is a battle between Leeds and Ipswich, I believe. So let's see. Yeah, and Ipswich, I've seen a couple of their games this year. They score a lot of goals, man. They're a team that, I mean, we'll see how that translates to the Prem, but at least in the championship, you know, it's one of those teams I never really looked at as being a team that could compete for the top three, top four spots. And, you know, they're here battling for top two this year. So shout out to them. And if they're able to get it done, it'll be fun to see them in the Premier League. But I want to start right now with our Champions League preview. It's kind of crazy. I didn't even realize the games were this week. You know, tomorrow and Wednesday. Tomorrow we have probably the more anticipated match of the two. Sorry, we have Bayern Munich going up against Real Madrid. Both of these teams are European royalty. Both of these teams have won multiple times. Obviously, you know, Madrid has, especially this last decade to decade and a half, kind of taken over as far as Champions League. But Bayern, a team that's, you know, probably been a little lackluster in the league, having this been the first time in 11 years that they aren't going to go and win the Bundesliga. But, you know, we're able to still have a lot of success here in Europe, you know, making it to the semifinals. They match up against Real Madrid, who just saw Man City last, you know, matchup, had to go all the way to penalties. You know, that was one of those where we probably would have liked to see them in the finals again, but, you know, that's not just not the way it shook up this year. But for our first match tomorrow, Bayern versus Real Madrid, I believe the match is at Dortmund.
Is that Bayern?
Yeah, so it's in Munich. So I believe that's honestly good for them to start at home. What do you guys have going on in that first leg tomorrow?
Madrid.
Yeah.
I think over the two legs, Real Madrid will go through. I have a feeling tomorrow that Bayern could either keep it close or maybe even get a narrow 1-0, 2-1 victory. And then I think when they get back to the Bernabeu, I don't know. Real Madrid have just kind of shown that they kind of just – they don't always take things as seriously as they should in the first leg. And then when they get back to the Bernabeu, it's just like, okay, we're going to score two goals here. So, but I think over the course of two legs, they'll go through. I see no way Bayern gets through this tie. There is no way.
Absolutely not. I don't see it either.
I don't see it at all. I don't even think they'll win tomorrow.
Me neither. I don't think. And if they don't get a result tomorrow, or if they don't at least draw tomorrow, it's definitely dead. There's no way they're going to the Bernabeu. And no. No way.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think Bayern.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's a wrap.
Bayern for Madrid.
I think it's a wrap. But you know, Bayern's been resilient all year, so you don't want to count them out. But Wednesday we see PSG versus Dortmund. You know, shout out PSG. After I believe they, I don't know if they've officially won League One yet, League One, but they're in first place in their domestic league, looking like they're going to win it this year as well. And Mbappe's going out with another.
I think they won.
Yeah.
They officially won.
They won.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. I don't remember if they have officially. So shout out to PSG, officially won.
The League One champs.
Uber Eats. It's going to be McDonald's next season.
There you go.
Mbappe going out, you know, on top with another ring. But yeah, I mean, Mbappe, this is the one he wants. You know, the Champions League is the one that they kind of have been constructing the team around him over the last half a decade, and they haven't been able to get it right. This year, they're back in the semifinals after a minute. You know, they have a coach that could possibly do it as well. You know, they have a coach who's been there before to the finals. So do we have them going over Dortmund, or do we think that Dortmund can pull an upset?
PSG going through. I think Dortmund snuck into the semis. Congrats to them. I mean, great job, you know, but it's over with for them. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I am sorry. PSG, I think we're going to see a PSG-Madrid final.
It's written in the stars. Mbappe versus his new team. Yeah. I win either way. Either way.
So, yeah.
I mean, I just hope PSG takes it serious, because if Dortmund played like they played the second leg against Atletico, it'll be a different game. But if PSG goes in thinking, haven't they played already? I feel like they've played already this season.
PSG and PSG Dortmund.
Were they in the same group?
I think it was them, Newcastle, and AC Milan, right? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. Let's see if we could go back. But
I can go to the head to head real quick.
I just think
they're in the same group. PSG won the first leg and they tied the second leg.
Yeah,
2-0 and then 1-1. So
I think if
PSG and we all know that 2-0s could be a lot more deceiving than the score.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Dortmund, like I said, like they. And with the additions they got over the course of the year as well, when you look at Ian Matson, he's definitely been able to help them out, you know, as well, especially on the left back, left wing side. They have somebody that's been able to give goals and assists and also defend well. So, I mean, obviously, it's they're definitely underdogs, but I don't know. Them German teams are sneaky, you know what I mean? They're definitely sneaky in Europe, and I know they're definitely the underdogs in both of these matchups, but I can see a world where Dortmund gets a better result than we think this first leg. Absolutely. I think they can get out with a draw, to be honest. If they play, if they play, like Mike said, how they kind of played against Atleti, but
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see with them. I think those will be better matchups than what we initially think, But yeah, you know, shout out to those teams that are getting to the semis of European championships. It's kind of crazy because we were talking about this is the last year of the current format, and I think this Champions League run has been entertaining from top to bottom. You know what I mean? Even going from that group of death that we just talked to, coming to see Arsenal, you know, make a run, even though they fell short here, coming to the quarters after a long time of no European football, or at least no Champions League football. Mm-hmm. And it's just been cool to see, you know, the different storylines, kind of Mbappe versus his old or his new team might be one of the finals. Kind of seeing these German teams who have been terrible in their domestic league, but somehow both in the semis. So it's like, it's been cool to see like everything and how it's shaking out, to be honest. So, it's been a good Champions League for this last year.
Dream final will definitely be PSG Real Madrid. I feel like the World Cup gave us a dream final, you know, with Messi and the defending champions France. This would be another good one if we can get, you know, Mbappe versus the team he's going to. Just see, you know, how it's going to shake out.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
I'd hate to see a Bayern versus Dortmund final.
I would too. I'd be like, damn, this is
Last time it was at Wembley, it was Bayern Dortmund.
It'd probably be even worse than Tottenham versus
Liverpool. Oh my god.
But talking about Liverpool, wanted to switch gears to them before we go ahead and talk about our teams, because kind of looks like they're out of the title race. You know, I'd say if I were a betting man, I would not bet on them. You know, it looks like it's down to the final two. It was good while it lasted, but I don't know. It feel like Liverpool kind of just – I don't know what happened. You know, since they lost – you know, both in their Europa League quarterfinal matchup, and then they ended up losing, taking the double L that week. I feel like their whole team morale kind of just left the locker room, and that was it. You know, the whole Klopp fairy tale ending kind of just went out the window. You know, leading up to this week, where you hear that Klopp versus Salah got into a little, you know, what you want to call it.
Let's save that.
Little altercation to the point where, you know, I guess it had to be separated. You know, Salah didn't want to talk to Klopp. Klopp didn't want to talk to Salah. I didn't read too much about it. Y'all might have more information, but I mean, the state of Liverpool right now, it's safe to say that they're probably done with the title race. But
done.
But where does this lead the team? Because this whole week you've been seeing reports of who's going to possibly stay or who's going to possibly leave. Like, you know, now that we're down to three games left in the year, you know, things are starting to come out, and you're seeing reports of Virgil maybe wanting to go, you know, back to Netherlands, or possibly look at other teams, and how other teams are looking at, and you know, they've had interest now. So it's going to be a very, very interesting, you know, summer sure for Liverpool. But, you know, while we still have time here during the season, What do we think? How do you think these last 3-4 weeks are going to play out?
They're done. And I would like to formally come on the pod and apologize to Salam Andalou, because he said they were done early. And I said they weren't. And I still didn't believe that they weren't, because they were still in the race. But, yeah, they're done. I said earlier on the pod, maybe a couple weeks ago, every team only has a loss, maybe a draw. Mm-hmm. And they've drawn two and lost one. That's over. Yeah. You can't afford to do that in this tight of a race. So, yep, that team is done. No fairy tale ending. Klopp, you know, we got a Carabao Cup, right? Got a Carabao. Yeah, he got a Carabao Cup. That's all the silverware he'll be getting this year. You know, the fairy tale ending quickly went down the drain. It's dead. I just want all Liverpool fans to know it's not going to happen. It's now a two-legged race, and you know, I love to see it. Love to see it. So, yeah, they're done.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Klopp.
Oh God, nothing left.
Before I get into Liverpool, I just want to say here. So, Erik ten Hag believed that Gareth's. And unfortunately, we have come to the end of this cycle. I hope you all enjoyed it. Runners up, the perpetual runners up over the past few years. You deserve it. And now, you know, with the new coach coming in, with this season falling apart with the way it is, the rumors that have come about. You'll never walk alone.
This
is what they told me. But now you got Darwin Nunez separating people on the touchline. Mm-hmm. So, no, I mean it's definitely a two-legged race going forward for this year, and in my opinion, for the next foreseeable future. And you know, we're going to look back on this Liverpool team and say, you know, this was one of the great teams of the Premier League, no doubt. But unfortunately, your time is up.
It's interesting you actually ended with that. Great team of the Premier League. All right, let's look at some real quick. In nine years.
Yeah.
One Premier League, one Champions League, one Super Cup. Two Carabao Cups, and then one FA. One FA. One FA Cup and what? One Club World Cup.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that really that impressive?
No, but it's one of the best teams. I would say, like, it's definitely top 10 Premier League teams of all time.
You know why I don't think it's that impressive? Because if we look at Tuchel's time at Chelsea, in those 2.5 seasons, he won what? 4 of those? No, he won 3 of those.
What?
Champions League. In 2.5 seasons, he won half the trophies Club won. In his 9 years at Liverpool. But you know, I think during the moment, yeah, we were fooled. They were competing with City. But now, at the end, when you're looking at everything in perspective in front of you, it was good. Now I think about it, I won't put them in those, you know, Uniteds, the Chelseas, the even City right now, even Arsenal. I don't know if I'll put them in those, you know, in those conversations. I don't know how you guys feel. They might be in the conversation, but they might be down the, you know, down the ladder.
Hold on, Mike. Let me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
That Tuchel team.
Yeah.
Like, Jurgen Klopp.
No. I'm not putting. I'm talking about the old Mourinho. About
trophies, though.
Like, old Mourinho teams, old Sir Alex teams. If we're looking at this Liverpool to be one of those great teams we've seen, you know, in this past recent years.
Let's just say last three decades, late 2000s,
you know, the 2010s. If we're looking at all these teams we've seen, like, I don't think they rank amongst those teams. Not this year's team.
I'm saying,
The team he's had the last 5 years.
Okay, so their best year was what, 2019?
The year they won the 2020. The
COVID, Mane, Salah, and Bobby Firmino up top.
Yeah.
Those teams, the only reason why they didn't win the title was because they were 1 point short, and I think the other team that had won the Premier League only lost, like, how many games? They would have been in any other era and any other Premier League.
When City first won the league, yeah. What did they beat you guys on? Was it goal differential?
Yeah.
So what are we here saying talking about 1 point? Do we talk about that United team? We don't.
No, we don't.
You know, I feel like when we were going through it, yeah, we were like, wow, these teams are, like, you know, good. Like, we're going to probably look at them back again. But now that everything is ending, if you put everything in perspective, they were not that impressive in the run. But you have to – they're in the conversation, but they're not among the top teams. They're probably at the bottom. If we're ranking 5, we'll probably put – Sir Alex's teams, will probably be Pep, we'll probably put Mourinho, we'll come to Wenger before, I don't even know, we talk about Klopp.
No, but he's in the 10.
I don't think it's a hot take.
When you look at all the Premier League champions and you look at all the points that they accumulated in that season,
yeah,
that team is amongst probably the top 5.
To be fair. I would agree.
I'm just looking at it like total as all the managers we've seen in the Prem. Right. Yeah. If you look at it, are you putting Klopp over Sir Alex or Pep? No. Sir Alex, Mourinho, Wenger? I don't think I'll put him over Wenger.
Why wouldn't you put?
He can't go. I mean, I'll say this.
I mean, Wenger.
I'll say this.
Champions League and Super Cup is the only really argument when it comes to Klopp and Wenger.
We know how talented those teams were because we were living through it and we're seeing them beat our teams. But when it comes down to like, what did you achieve? When you look across sports, there are some teams that are in folklore as those great teams, even though they never won anything, because we know. And in football is different because there's multiple chances to win a trophy. You know, you can win domestic cups, you can win European cups, you can win the league, obviously. So there, you know, success isn't measured by just one metric. There's a few metrics in football. So when you look at Liverpool as a whole, I see what Salam's saying. Like, this team is, they're going to go down as a top 10 Premier League team.
Oh, absolutely. Top 10 for sure.
Top teams are going to be talked about for years. I mean, when you look at what Salah was able to do individually, what, you know, Bobby, Mane, and Salah were able to do as a trio when they were first balling, like when they first got hit in. So I mean, these when they first got Virgil, how their team switched to a defensive. Like, we're going to remember all of these things because
remember
the manager he was transformed Liverpool into one of the top teams in the Premier League. He did.
But are we going to remember them as like, oh, one of the won't forget type teams?
But at the end of the day, Mike, I agree with you because when I look at this tenure, I'm like, look, Chelsea was able to get a league. Leicester was able to get a league. We let City run rampant. So, yeah, y'all got y'all one, and there was a year that you guys won by 1 point. But, I mean, you guys weren't finishing second place every year. You guys weren't winning trophies every year. So, even if you're not winning the league, there are other opportunities for them to win, and they didn't do what I feel like they should have. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Mike. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I do see both points. I see what Salam's saying. Like, at the end of the day, these Klopp Liverpool squads are going to go down as top five.
I just don't want that to be because
we hold Klopp at a high standard and we hold some of these players at a high standard, we have to hold what they achieved at a high standard too. So I agree with that. If we hold these players that high, we got to look and be like, hey, why didn't y'all get it done in the year Leicester won? Chelsea won in 2017. Like, what happened? So you have to look and say, you guys were battling, yes, but there were also times where you could have taken that leap to say, all right, let's get that one extra trophy. Let's get that. And I feel like they lost all of some of those as well.
Yeah. But I also feel like a lot of this is skewed, though, because of Pep. Like, that's.
But Gabriel,
Pep, Pep is literally the Sir Alex of this generation. Let's be 100% honest, right? So yes, we can talk about all these other things and this and the third, but they're going up literally against a giant who, and he's done this in every league. When he was in Germany, he did this. When he was in when he was in Spain, he literally did this. Really, no one else won the league but him. All these accolades are him. And then he comes to City, he does the same exact thing. So, yes, like, I understand, like, the accolades and things of that sort. Like, oh, they didn't win all these things and all of this and all of that. Yes, I agree. The accolades may not match up with the years, right? But you have to realize that they're going up literally against the Sir Alex of this generation. So you have to take that into account. I take that into account as well. Like,
yeah.
There's only so much you can do. Like they, like you just said, they went 99 points to 100. Like what other Prem team has ever put up 100 points in a season, 100 goals? Like no one's ever done that a day in their life. And the only team to fall short in Liverpool, literally by a point, and they had to be almost perfect. You feel me? So it's like, I get what you guys are saying, but also like you have to keep that in perspective too. Like this team, I completely agree with you. He's done, and it's not like, you know, it's just a one-off. He's done this every single country he's been in. You know what I mean? Every single country he's been in, he's completely dominated. So I see what you guys are saying, and I don't want to say, you know, I don't think Klopp's time is completely, I don't think it's a failure.
I think he could have done more.
It's nowhere near.
I'm not saying he couldn't have done more because he could have, but you also have to put in perspective, like, you know, 99 versus 100, like, fam.
I think that's why I understand what you're saying, and we're not disputing that at all. And that's why I think that shows to Pep's greatness as well, because like I said earlier, there are multiple ways to win in football. You know, especially in the Premier League, you have two domestic cups and the league. So, you know, you can do a treble within your own domestic league. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's why when I look at the one Carabao and the one FA Cup, or, well, I guess he has two Carabaos now. There were multiple times where you guys got there. You know what I mean? There were finals that they lost. There were times that they got to the semis and finals. And as long, they're not as big as the league. But I'm just saying, when you look overall, yes, we're going to look at him against Pep, and we're going to look at everyone against Pep in this era and say, Pep took over the decade. Obviously, it's clear, especially with the money and the backing that he's had. But that's not to say that Klopp, what he did with his Liverpool team, didn't raise them from essentially nobody. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say nobody's, but he raised them from the depths of what, you know,
a Brendan Rodgers, yeah,
like a former great gone all the way to a mid-table team, and brought them back to their former glory. He did. Like, yeah. Let's not do that. The way that Liverpool fans now are able to rejoice and look at their team, a decade ago, they weren't doing that. So, this goes bigger than just accolades and what the numbers are. This is about a whole franchise that now LeBron, you know what I'm saying? Like, LeBron is a part owner of them. Why? Because he looked at what they had. He was able to get. So this is bigger than just numbers and accolades. I'm saying what Klopp was able to do absolutely brought them back to where Liverpool should be in the Premier League. And that's going to be his legacy for real. You know, obviously, we can always say he should have achieved more on the trophy side. But what he was able to do for the actual franchise, they're back. Yeah. You know absolutely. What I'm saying? Like, they're actually absolutely. Back. I remember what Liverpool looked like a decade ago, and now they're back.
But let's talk Salah, though. What do you guys think about that incident?
I think, I quite frankly, I just want to know, like, who do you think you are? I just think that it's extremely it's sad to see it come like this, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, it's very sad because it's like now it comes off as if you think you're bigger than the manager, you're bigger than the club. And quite frankly, he hasn't warranted to start. He's been very poor the past few games.
Yeah.
And these are must-win games. I think, to be very honest with you, give credit to Klopp for even benching him because I know the team that I support, the manager of the team that I support would just play the guy. Just no matter what, even if he was good or bad. So the fact, and I feel him, the fact that you're in a title race, these are must win games. You're not really giving me much production. Yeah. I mean, you got to come off the bench. This is the role that you earned now. And it's ironic just because, like, when you came, obviously, like, you know, they bought you for big money. So, like, yeah, you were always going to come in and play, but it's kind of the same thing when you came in, 2017? You took over for somebody else. And now here we are 7 years later, and you at least the past few games, may imply that you're on the
decline.
The decline. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't want to get too much into it because it's all speculation. We don't know what was said. We don't know what that person said. We don't know if they're talking about game time. You don't know if Klopp just, we don't know what happened. I mean, you can only really speculate about what happened. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's right for really any player to like argue with the manager, especially like in the heat of the moment, in the middle of a match. I don't think that's the time or the place. But those things happen, man. Like, I know it doesn't, I know it's, you know, only certain players have that kind of, you know, I wouldn't say right or authority, but I guess have that, I guess, leniency to talk to the manager like that. And I feel like, man, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like Salah has earned that just from what he's done and how he's played over the years past. I feel like he's earned that. So I'm not condoning what he did. And once again, I don't want to speculate too much because I really don't know what was said, but you know, those things happen. And it's sad that it came to it, but I feel like I don't feel like it's just maybe that one. I don't think it's just that moment though. I think this is a accumulation of emotions over results, you know, performances, over things, and I think that's like that's just a cherry on top, and that we just saw, you know, the one blip. You know, we don't really see what goes on behind the scenes and things of that like that. So I don't want to say it's just, oh, this is about playing time, this is that, and Klopp says I'm slick and that Salah had to respond. Like, I don't want to put it on him. I don't want to put it on
myself. But that's like, this is my thing though. What are you talking about?
Accumulation of things. I feel like it's accumulation of things.
But what are you talking about when you're saying things like, if I speak it's going to be fire? Like,
yeah, like
what, like what is that even supposed to mean?
You've been poor. You've been poor. And like
I wouldn't think he would take something like that with Klopp, you know, that serious, because you know Klopp had his thing with Mane too, but I don't think it ever, you know, was a thing. Well, I don't know for sure, but at least from what we saw, I don't think it was a thing between them. But then again, it's like, this is, you know, there are certain things that you just don't. for the sake of, you know, everything.
Yeah, I think we're giving him a pass. This guy is a veteran. He's one of the leaders of the team. He's probably a club probably the club's best player ever. Exactly. And this is what you're doing? Like, this is inexcusable.
I feel like in a moment like that, he could have controlled himself.
It clearly
I agree. I don't think it's that time.
That they had. And it's probably him being humbled. Because what? He probably expects to just play. Like, yo, we're in a title race. We can actually win the league. But we not with you. Like,
but you're speculating that it's overplayed. Like, we don't know what transpired. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm not going to say and sit here and say, oh, Salah's mad because he didn't start this match and then he's arguing before he comes on the pitch. Like, we don't know what was said, so I don't want to speculate and say that's what it was. And I'm not saying his actions were right. I don't think they were right. I don't think that's the time or the place for it. You have a whole locker room. After the match, halftime, whenever the case, you have a whole locker room where if you want to go yell, do whatever, talk to him, that's where you go and do it. I'm not condoning his actions, but I just don't think we should just say, oh, this is over playing time and this is over that. This, I think, personally, this is an accumulation of things that we may speculate and then a lot of things that we just don't know because we're not in the day-to-day. And I hopefully when this documentary comes out, we can see it. I hope they have some footage of what was said. And I think we'll see on the doc, but we got to wait the next year till this doc comes out. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't want to sit here and say it was all Salah. Like, I don't want to put the blame on him like that.
I hope Netflix picks it up. It should be a good one.
They should have. They have cameras everywhere. Mic'd up everywhere. Everyone's mic'd up.
or TMZ. Or Prime. Prime's been good.
Yeah, Prime, whatever it is.
TMZ, World Star. World Star, man. Yeah, I swear. World I Star. It was if Darwin wasn't there.
In association here, with.
World Star Productions. The Shade Room does not condone.
That's
crazy. But to end our Liverpool, I didn't mean this to be a Liverpool show, but we know that Klopp is going to be gone at the end of this season, and it looks like they officially are moving on to Salam. What do you call him? the what? Aaron. Dutch? The Dutchman?
No. I'm not going to say that.
Ten Hag's brother, right?
No.
This is like,
but yeah, young mentor. Arnie Slot,
his intern.
The intern is crazy. Honestly, I don't know too much about him. I know he's currently at Feyenoord. He's been there for a little while. Obviously, a coach in the Netherlands in the Dutch league. I honestly don't know too much about him. So hearing this was kind of from left field.
I do. I know about him. He used to coach at AZ Alkmaar. Very familiar with Mr. Arnie Slot. He was actually one of the coaches that was on the short list to come to United before we got before we appointed Ragnick. Actually, when Ole was going through his
of Ole.
I think it'll be a good appointment for Liverpool. I think that he's not Premier League proven. I just know that like the Liverpool job is going to be a difficult job, just because you're taking over Klopp. The expectations are going to be high. The person who was here before you clearly achieved a lot. So to come in after him is going to be quite difficult. But I think he'll be fine. I think it's a good appointment. Me personally, I think that there was a few other guys that they could have got before they got him. The guy from Sporting, I thought, was a better shout. Mm-hmm. But I think he's definitely amongst the better managers that they could have got. I personally would have got Xabi Alonso if I were them, but I get it. Probably couldn't afford
it. I don't think he's going nowhere, bro.
He's not going anywhere.
I think the next race. And that's the thing. Now that Liverpool has gotten him for 3 years, I think that's the deal, 3 or 4 years. Now that I don't know, because the only place I see Xabi going would be Liverpool or
Real Madrid. You don't go to Real Madrid.
He might go to Real Madrid.
Ragnick got that sewed up.
You're right. Yeah.
I don't know much about Buddy, but I feel like he's the lick. I'm sorry. I just, I don't know. Something about him just, I just feel like he's just going to be a lick for 2 years.
Yeah. So. AS, Arnie Slot. AS. Yeah,
like,
he's going to get
slot. He's good. Yeah, let's not say it out here.
All right. Y'all
case. He's going to get Arnie slotted. That Young Thug song. How does it go? Slap. I'm not gonna start.
Let him get a preseason in before we before we start giving him nicknames.
Man. I can't wait. For the first L, oh my god!
Yeah, nah, for real. Yeah, I'm not.
Liverpool fans, they gonna be sick.
You'll never walk alone. You'll never walk Arnie. I can't wait for that, man. Shout out Arnie.
All right, but yeah, man. Let's get to our teams. Enough about Liverpool. Even though Liverpool did draw 2-2 against West Ham, them bumps. But there were a lot of draws on Saturday. United, we'll just go in chronological order. United ended up playing Burnley, and Onana.
Onana.
Why you guys are saying
Onana? Yeah, man. When it seems like United can get it done. I feel like this has been the story of your season. Just a blunder in the end of the game kind of just ruins the whole morale of the team. Another one at home. You guys always seem to do this at home. I've realized that. You guys always seem to do this at home.
The fortress. I just want to say, first of all, I don't know why you guys are saying Onana.
Bro, did you see his challenge?
I'm not saying
he hit him like Ryan Garcia. I saw it. But my thing is again, Casemiro has been poor these past few weeks. Starting with his performances all season. I think this year you've really seen that his legs are gone.
He's starting to look old.
It's really, starting to show that, he's kind of past it, but his decision making has been poor. That penalty during the Coventry shootout was completely poor. And then for you to be 84th minute, you know what team we are. Like, you're one of the people that I look at with the veteran leadership. You have one of the most experience in the team. And in that moment, you decide to nonchalantly try and head the ball back to the keeper. When there's attackers in the box, there's literally a striker in front of you, and you decide I'm going to, as if he was playing beach volleyball in Brazil. He just headed it back to Andre Onana. Andre Onana came and completely took out the striker. So I don't really blame Onana. I honestly think that it's karma. I know you guys were saying that in the group text versus the first game of the season versus Wolves, because Onana knocked somebody out again on the first game of the season. So, I thought that, it was justified that we got that penalty called on us. There was also a penalty that wasn't called on us, but I don't really want to get into VAR officiating. Obviously, it's just one of those things where we were unlucky once again, but it is what it is. I thought the handball, the one that Anthony crossed in and it hit the guy, it was the same thing that literally Aaron Wan-Bissaka was called for last week versus Coventry. But, it is what it is. I just want to address a few things. Manchester United have 2 wins, 4 draws, and 3 defeats in the past 9 Premier League games with 17 goals conceded. My manager proceeds to go into the post-game press conference and say, in quote, "We're one of the most dynamic and entertaining teams in the league at this moment." We're creating loads of chances by playing good football. First of all,
Eric.
Yeah, Eric. Man, you need to stop going back to Amsterdam because this is ridiculous.
What's that future song? I'm on that good cushion. Hey.
I know what he's channeling, but the only thing that I agree with that statement is I do believe that we create chances. We do create chances. I mean, even in the past game, we created 27. It's the stats here, 27 shots, 10 on target, one goal. So, you know.
Horrendous. Jeez.
That's like my youth team. My youth team, they're 14 years old. You know what I'm saying? So, like, they create a ton of shots on goal. But unfortunately, because they're kids, the expectation is that they won't make all of them. But these are professionals. And, yeah, man. But the fact that he's saying that we're one of the most entertaining teams in the league, I think we are entertaining, but not for the right reasons. so I just think that, you know, like he's clearly fighting for his job. And it's just, I've seen this chapter before with previous United managers, like right before they get sacked, it seems as if like, you know, the stuff that they start saying, it just really starts to just, you know, really just kind of just like,
not make sense.
And it's not really makes sense. And it's clear, like, you can tell that there's a disconnect somewhere. So once again, poor substitutions. I'm not quite sure why you're taking off Maino and Hoyland. We need a goal. We need a goal. The game is tied. We're at home and you're subbing him off for Ahmad, who, quite frankly, since the Liverpool game, hasn't done much. But yeah, man, we don't really have much to play for except that FA Cup final. So for us, I think that the rest of the Premier League games are going to be what they have been all season. Obviously, we have a big game against Arsenal coming up in a few weeks, with a lot of league implications there. But I don't know, man. It just seems that these guys are able to, you know, completely switch off in a matter of seconds and completely throw away a performance. So, like I said, all season, until we get some of these guys out, we're going to continue saying this. So, I'm backing my manager though, Eric Ten Hag.
Do you want to keep him? You want to keep him?
I saw you wanted him out.
Nope.
You don't want him out. Now you want him in.
He'd be switching.
I never wanted him out.
Oh,
I never said I wanted him out.
I never said I wanted him out.
All right, yeah.
I just think that. But so here's the thing. I just one thing that we can all agree on is that some of these players are not good enough.
Yes,
and they need to go. There's a cleansing that needs to happen.
Yeah,
but at the same time. But at the same time, I do see Shea. We have to back this guy and we have to give him his third year. At the end of the third year, if it's not looking like very promising, then he can go.
If we finish above you guys, does he still stay?
No, I don't think that the board is saying, oh my God, we have to sack him because Chelsea finished. Respectfully, you guys are not like, we're not looking at you. You're not on the radar. It has nothing to do with that. Now, I will say I don't really see any way that we sack him. I really just don't. Even if we lose the final, if it was United versus Chelsea and we lost to Chelsea in the final, then I would consider sacking him.
We already lost to us this season.
But we're 1-1 on the season.
Okay,
your guys' record against us the past 4 years has been terrible.
That's why if we finish above y'all, it shouldn't be a good look for you.
Yeah, maybe here on the podcast
for you and your boy Eric.
Eric, he
has to go. I think he has to go. If you have a guy like Tuchel, you know, just out and about, I think you go with two.
Like, he's out and about for a reason. He's out and about for a reason. He's been out and about. What do you mean? He was out and about a year from now. What do you mean? Year to year, you're just getting sacked? No, man. What? Year to year. He was in the same position. Cornelius, you're on mute. But year to year, you're just what? One job to another.
One and done. One and done.
Yeah, yeah, I was about to, that's what I was saying. I said one and done. That's crazy.
You're just one and done and out here. As if like, what? Nah, man. Give him this last year. And if things aren't going well by December, then get rid of him. But these players have shown that they're not good enough. So get them out.
But we've also seen a pattern of him taking out guys and then you guys end up conceding and not keeping leads. Yeah. I mean, we've seen it. It's a pattern. You're telling me Kobe Manu can't play at 90? Come on.
I don't know like, why he's not playing.
What is
– But my thing is, it's easy to point the finger at that. Why can't – but I'm sorry. It's
a pattern, though, Salam.
Rasmus Højlund not being in and Kobe Manu not being in was not the reason Casemiro decided to go back to Brazil for 2 seconds in his head. That was not the reason. Or even at the end. When Ahmed had that Ahmed was wide open and Bruno decided that he was going to keep dribbling instead of passing to him in the 90th plus minute to win the game. Mm-hmm. That wasn't because
Kobe That's fair. Wasn't. That's fair.
That wasn't because. These guys, the coach is what? The coach has showed you that he can put you in a position to be up 3-0 and you guys can come in and completely just squander it. Come on. It's not on him. Against Coventry. The Coventry game should show everybody that, like, oh, he wasn't wrong. Salam wasn't wrong.
Y'all Salam lost that match.
Right.
Coventry?
Adji Wright was not offsides, man. They needed to sell more tickets. Man City versus Coventry, we're going to sell no tickets.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Cornelius. That's why we're in, because financially speaking, Florentino Perez came through the Could you imagine reffing a Real Madrid game and Florentino Perez comes through the headset? What? It's a penalty. It's a penalty. it's a penalty.
That's funny. Anyway, switching gears to Chelsea, man. 2-2 draw against Aston Villa, and honestly, this match was a tale of two halves. I was frustrated with Chelsea in the first half. It's crazy because it all came down to the end of the match where two very, very small decisions changed the whole match. Cole Palmer, you know, had a chance to score right at the end of the match and, you know, wasn't able to put it away. And then a very, 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 very soft call by the ref took Sassi's goal away in the 96th, 97th minute. But you know, honestly, for Chelsea, this is just part of the growing pains. Like I've been saying all year, this is a learning experience. This is one of those games where, you know, you look at the entire match and we honestly played better than Villa. Nicholas Jackson had chances in the first half. One was called back from an offsides. You know, Nicholas Jackson had, you know, multiple chances to score. You just see him not being as clinical as you want. And that's, you know, it's part of the issue I've had with Chelsea all year, you know, not being clinical in the box, not really, more so just squandering our chances. You know, if it weren't for Cole Palmer, we would be a 14th, 15th table team in the league. Clearly, we would. The way the Villa's playing, the way Brentford's playing, you know, the way some of these teams not too much lower than us are playing currently in the league, I don't think we'd be able to keep up with where we are right now. And it's honestly because of Cole Palmer. So we have way much thanks and congratulations and everything to give him. I mean, he's clearly the player of the year for us, possibly, you know, a golden boot winner. He's in first place right now, tied with Erling Haaland. But that's besides the point. The point here is Chelsea Football Club. You know, like Pochettino said, we're trying to make sure everyone knows this isn't Cole Palmer Football Club. But, you know, that fell flat because without him, we don't look like a team. Without him, we don't score. Without him, we don't win. And so, you know what I'm saying? So for right now, what I want to see for these last 3 weeks is just better team play. I mean, Madueke looked good. You know, all the issues I have with him are more so on the pitch and his attitude. But as far as his game, like, the guy looks good. I like a lot of what I've seen, but, you know, my biggest issue for me is probably just our ability to be clinical in and around the box. And, you know, just our team as a whole finding that style of play and that cohesiveness. That's going to grow and that's going to come. But I don't know if Poch is the guy to get it done for us.
Get him out of here. He's
been lackluster all year. We have to give him another year. But
watch out.
Like I said, I want to him. I want to see him buy the players that he wants, and I want to see him with, you know, our team, because we're still at a place now where we have too many young guys, and we need to offload probably like 5, 6, 7 even players this summer. But I don't know if Poch will have the ability to get the guys that he wants, because I still don't like. I still see how he potentially wants to play. But I don't think that, you know, with the players we have now, it's very beneficial, considering that our wingers aren't as skillful and as ball they don't keep the ball as much as I think he wants them to. When you have guys like Madueke and Mudrik, who are very, very young and raw, we're not going to be able to keep possession how I feel like he wants to. But, you know, kudos to Cole Palmer. Kudos to Madueke for getting goals. And, you know, shout out CG or Connor Gallagher. He's been our second most consistent player behind Cole Palmer. There have been rumors of him having to be offloaded and all that. And I think this guy really wants to stay at Chelsea. And we got to keep him. You know, he's a glue guy. He's a Chelsea Academy kid. I think he understands what we need to move forward and become Chelsea Football Club again. I don't know. I just think that after all that we've been through, Connor Gallagher deserves a spot on our team. That's how I'm just ending right there.
Yeah, Poch out. I'm Poch out. I don't have I don't have time to give.
I lose the episode. Poch out.
Poch out. Get him out of here, man. I mean, after the showing at Arsenal, where we get to a point in the game where there's just the players, it's just visibly out of, you know, ideas. It's embarrassing. I can't be patient with that. Like, I can't be patient with that. Lose with some dignity. Like, don't lose to your rival in the middle of the game where you just pretty much just give up. And that's what the guys did. I can't have it. Okay, you know, there's been reports, oh, the guys love him, he's good with the players, this, that, and the third. Bro, we need to be a serious club again. We need to be a serious club. You know, that win at Villa this past weekend wasn't impressive to me, but this is one thing I would give him.
It wasn't even a win.
The tie, the draw.
Here we go. Correct.
I'm sorry. it wasn't even impressive to me. Why? The only reason I'll give him credit is for the fight. You showed me that you didn't give up. You fought. But it shouldn't have went down like that. I get it. The first goal was, you know, a little, you know, it's hard to, you know, argue for that goal. You know, it's whatever. Bounced around, deflection, go. But everything else, I don't know. I'm not impressed at all. Because it's like he just runs out of options or ideas or something. I don't know what it is. Like, I get it. You know, came back 2-2. I like that. That's what you want to see. But these games are the same. Playing from side to side. Guys just stand there. Everybody's pointing. Where are you going? Like Cornelius said, without Cole Palmer, I don't know where we'll be this season. Without him, I have no idea where we'll be.
Fighting relegation.
Like, no idea.
Let me ask you, Mike. You said he seems to be running out of ideas, or he seems to be running out of options. Which one do you think it is?
Both. Ideas.
Really?
To me, yes, we haven't had the players we would like to have. But at the same time, most of the guys that have been playing now at this stage of the season have played majority of the season. Like, so I can't hold on to the idea of, oh, the injuries. But yeah, that was our Achilles heel this year. That was the main reason. We just couldn't get a one team at the same time healthy, playing together, build some type of chemistry. We just didn't have that, and it's the reality. But then again, where we are at this point of the season, the guys that are playing, you guys have been the guys playing. So we don't have excuses when it comes to things like, oh, you know, we don't know how to build from the back. We don't know where guys need to be. That shouldn't be happening at this point of the season when you guys have been the same guys playing. So if you look at the Arsenal game without Cole Palmer, I mean, I don't know if they even know what the hell they're doing on the field. Zero idea. You put Cole Palmer back again in the Villa game, everything just seems to work. I can't have a manager like that, bro. Where it seems like, oh, it's just that one guy. I just can't have it. I think there are better managers out there. I would rather not build with this guy and then have to let him go.
Like there's
well just go ahead and let him go and let the other guy just come in.
I don't know.
I can't invest more time. I don't think he's the right guy we should invest more time with. I just don't see it. I never liked Tuchel coming in. I never rated him as a coach. But within the few weeks, I was like, okay, you know, I can get used to this. Like, we don't lose. He makes sure that we're in games. I can't say that with this guy. I get it. We have young guys. But bro, it's game number 33, game number 32. Like, we can't be using that excuse. You guys have been playing. You've had enough of games. You don't know where you need to be in the system. Like, you don't know where you need to be in game number 32. Come on, man.
Yeah, and I agree with Mike on that.
I can't have
there's
that.
Been there hasn't been a lot of growth from what I've seen from him or a lot of the players. Like, kind of what Mike is just saying. If Cole Palmer isn't there, we should have a game plan. We should still know how to move the ball. We shouldn't have to rely on one player that heavily, because when he's not there, aka the Arsenal game, we get smacked 5-0.
Oh my god, it was embarrassing.
Everyone looked bad. It's like we didn't know how to play football anymore. So it what Mike is saying does make sense. We need a manager who is giving us a game plan, not just okay, this is how we want to play, but we have to play through this guy. You know, if he's not there, then there's no creativity. There's no sensibility of what each player should be doing, which if you're a center mid, you know you should be dropping in to get the ball and passing it to the other center mid and moving it to the outside. And if you're a winger, you know you should be, you know, like, it seems like all of that is lost when he's not there.
So. You know, a game, you know, match day 32, this shouldn't be the things we're worried about. You know, it should be all winning or losing. That's all we should be worried about. We shouldn't be worried about Modric is still playing the same way. What's his name? Caicedo can't seem to, you know, hold on to the ball the way he should. Like, just little things that I'm just like, okay, we should be over this. But I'll say one thing, though. They played well that Villa game. But that first half was horrible. Second half was better. But I don't know, man. This team has been frustrating to watch. But we go back every week. We go again, you know, every week.
And again.
Yeah, we go again.
Shout out, Booba.
Shout out, Booba, man. But, yeah, man. Actually, is he – so he's rehabbing still? Or is he back in –
oh, Booba is in Ireland.
Oh, he's in Ireland?
Yeah. It was wow. In Ireland. Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to get a quick update. Yeah, we'll have to get a quick update after, but – But yeah, let's talk about Arsenal. End with Arsenal here, you know.
3 point holders, you feel me?
Race team that is top of the ting. City has a game in hand. They're behind Arsenal by 1 point, down 7 goals on goal differential. So it's still close, but Arsenal still currently on top of the table. Big week ahead, big week behind. Kind of, how do you feel as we progress through the last 4 weeks, 3 weeks of this Premier League season?
Feel great, honestly. Like I've said before, we're still chasing, even though we're first right now. City have a game in hand. If they win, they're top of the table. So I still feel like we're still chasing, and it's easier to chase than it is to hold the position on top. So like the position that we're in. Unfortunately, you know, it's not in our hands, but like I said, I'm just calling all my Avengers. My next Avenger, I think is what, Wolves this week? I don't really see them doing too much, but you know, I'm still gonna call my Avengers.
Wolves.
But yeah, no, honestly, this week showed me a lot about my team. I honestly don't even feel like we played that well first half. I think we just like finished our chances, if I'm being completely honest. First 15, we're kind of on our heels. We're able to get a goal early and then just kind of keep it rolling from there and just be clinical when we needed to. So good that we're clinical, kind of dead the game early, or as I would have thought we would have dead the game early. And, you know, just like that, David Raya puts them right back in the game. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, it happened. But I'm just happy to come out with the 3 points. It wasn't an, we made it harder on ourselves. And like I've been saying all season, we beat ourselves. This is not, this Spurs team didn't break us down. They didn't, you know, play through us. They didn't, no tiki-taka, nothing. No one on their team did a thing. Absolutely nothing. We gave them 2 goals. Raya gave them a goal. And honestly, Declan Rice gave them a PK. That's the only way they scored. It's the only thing that they would have done. Outside of that, the game was dead. None of their playmakers really did anything. And it's annoying. It annoyed me that, you know, we put ourselves under pressure like that at the end of the match, you know. I think we just made it harder on ourselves. But we showed resiliency and to not get the draw. You know, a draw would have been detrimental to the title race. And I'm just happy to come out with the 3 points at the end of the day, if I'm being completely honest. Kai Havertz, once again, great performance. You know, last two matches, 3 goals. I think he had an assist this past match, too.
Mm-hmm. Great ball.
Yeah, amazing ball to Saka. Saka's back on the scoring sheet as well. So,
see, he's not limping anymore? Okay.
Yeah.
The ankle looked cool. It looked cool.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Anyway, yeah, my team is good. I'm just, you know, calling the Avengers and, you know, hopefully we'll just continue to get business done. Like I said, you know, we can't afford to drop any more points. I wholeheartedly believe that we can finish the rest of the season undefeated and get the points necessary. And, I mean, if City just went out, hey, it is what it is. There's not really much more you can do about it. We've been pretty much perfect all season. Or not all season, but we've been pretty much perfect all 2024. You know, one loss and one draw in the entire 2024. And, you know, if, like we've been saying, if that's what it takes, it's a draw, a loss and a draw. If we lose a title on that in 2024, then oh well. I mean, not really much more I can say or do. This team went 23 undefeated to win the title, so you know, it is what it is. But you know, I'm happy with my team and happy with the performance. I hope David Raya can figure it out, because he cost us Champions League and almost cost us the league. So I hope David Raya can figure it out. But yeah, I'm happy with my team. I really don't have much to say. We move. We beat Tottenham. Yeah. Undefeated against the top six so far. And we just can hopefully just continue that.
Can we talk about Tottenham's just, I don't know, you know, one of the bright spots of the Premier League to start the season, and now,
yeah, you know, it's crazy. I saw a stat today, and it said that, you know, Tottenham started off the season undefeated, and this was the quote. I forgot who
contender.
Tweeted it.
I remember contender,
but it said Tottenham had a better start to the season than the Invincibles. They were after a certain amount of matches, they were 24 points. Ahead, or we were, the Invincibles were 24 points and the Tottenham was 26 points at the same point. And right. Since that tweet, this was October 27th, 2023. Since that tweet, Bournemouth has had more points in the Premier League than Tottenham, which is insane.
That's crazy.
Insane. So yeah, no, this Tottenham team, you know, they went through a hard time with Van der Ven going down. They had, I think, James Maddison go down for a bit. Like I've said before, if any of those key players that they have go down, this team will struggle, and they did struggle. And you know, I just think that's what it is with Tottenham. But I felt good about this game. We shut down their main players. Mike likes to harp on, you know, Maddison being so great. Maddison didn't do a thing, got pulled on the 65th minute, and that's when they started scoring goals. So, you know, it's just, like I said, man, I'm not really worried about Tottenham. North London's been red. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I don't know what these players are on, really. But, you know, we move, man. We just handle business and we move. We won't say too much. We won't talk too much. We're looking to win titles. Happy we secured Champions League for another season. Mathematically, we did that, so I'm happy about that as well. I'm just happy that my team got 3 points and we're looking to win titles. So,
hey, shout out Ange Postecoglou. Just play the football you want to play, mate. You keep playing this way, you keep conceding these goals. So keep it up, buddy.
100%.
I was with you until you said win titles. That's what Young Trini said.
They'll be happy to be here.
Let's get into predictions, man.
Before we get into predictions, do we want to talk about I guess like the new VAR? Or I guess
talk about it. What is the new VAR?
Or not the new VAR, I'm tripping.
The cap?
The new cap that they're imposing on teams.
But it's only for wages, man. It's not for transfer fees. So honestly, there's nothing to talk about. If I'm being completely honest,
the other way around too. So
yeah, I think there is something to talk about because I think certain teams like Chelsea, hey, United.
Why didn't you guys vote?
You know when we stood. You guys were the ones that were like, we didn't vote yet.
We totally abstained.
No, you guys are definitely gonna vote. We're abstaining, but you're abstaining.
Does it apply to transfer fees?
No, it doesn't
apply. No, so then there's, to me, then what's the point of talking about it? Because we were talking about transfer fees here. That's where the money is really being, you know. That's where the money's really being spent. Yeah, but
the Chelsea's and United's, I would say just those two specifically. The reason why we're able to entice some of the players that we do is because of the higher wages. So that actually is a big deal for certain teams because now you can't just say, hey, here's team A and team B, you know, same like wages, amount of money that the club is gonna pay you, but where are you going to go? The club that pays you?
Because your transfer fee is only going to the club. Like, the wages is what the player is actually getting.
100%. But what? They're gonna put the cap at what, 350? De Bruyne is at 350 right now. Haaland's at 350. So if a club like Chelsea, City, us, whoever, can still go and put you at 350, and the other team can't put you them at 350.
No, it will be like total. Okay, so that total.
If you're putting De Bruyne at three, I think there's going to be a team cap.
Let's just say
it's $1 million.
Okay,
just
to make things simple. What you're saying.
If you're paying De Bruyne $350, you only have another $650 to spend on everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Man, I don't know what it's going to be, and I think that's
do why it like the NBA
until June, but it's like
veterans minimum. Hey, you're gonna have a bunch of older, you know, you're gonna have a bunch of just like Jordan Henderson's running around here, running your country. You know what I'm saying?
Arsenal said they might keep Elneny now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, really. The veterans minimum.
No, but I think that's definitely gonna help some teams because I feel like certain teams entice players by their wages. So
absolutely.
If the playing field is even, then teams will go back to just going to the best teams, I believe.
I still think that they're gonna. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it's gonna. I don't think it's gonna have the impact that. I don't think it's gonna find the impact. Have the impact unless you put it on transfer fees. Unless you put it on everything. I need the transfer fee cap, because, come on. I mean, yeah. There's a team out there with 115 charges. So, I mean, let's be real.
they voted against it, right? Yeah, they definitely voted against it.
Of course they voted against it. What do you mean? They have 115 charges. What do you mean?
That was the first thing I noticed. I was like, of course City would.
Of course City. And then Chelsea pleaded the fifth. I said, I can nor confirm nor deny.
We're Switzerland down here. Yeah, we're Switzerland
down here. United too broke to even submit their bid. So they were just like, yo, can y'all take ours too? Can y'all take our bid? When do you submit yours? All right, man. Who do y'all play next?
Arsenal, Bournemouth.
Wow, Bournemouth.
Arsenal at home this Saturday, I believe, 7:30, bright and early. I mean, I don't need to call it a get right game, but this is a tune up game for Manchester United. After that, I expect us to just take care of business and move.
A tune up game.
Like an oil change.
Get the torque right, mess with the nails a little bit, make sure everything is properly placed, everything is, working correctly, and then Go to war in the 19th.
The theater of dreams.
Well, it's fitting. I'll go next. Manchester United plays Crystal Palace away from home.
Oh my goodness! I'm taking
this lock of the week.
This fixture always seems literally around this time of year. It always seems like Selhurst Park. Like when we need, a victory, it just seems as if we have to go there. The last time we were there, we were actually up 1-0 the whole game. And in the 97th minute, Michael Olise hits a free kick to tie the game. We finished the game 1-1. That's how I finished last year at Selhurst Park. I would say, as long as the boys give it their all, at this point, there's really nothing.
We're not doing that.
I think we will get points. We'll get one point away from home. On Monday, too. So hopefully, we'll see. It may be hot that night, that we'll see that day.
Chelsea, we play Tottenham.
They play us, y'all, and then City after. Jeez,
yeah.
Oh, Big Ange. Spoiler alert. My shout out of the week is Big Ange, because Postecoglou is Postecoglou.
I think we're gonna be Tottenham. They're one of the opponents I'm never too worried about.
You guys will be Tottenham.
Yeah,
I think that's cap too.
All right, we beat them 4-1 at home.
What does that mean? Yeah,
we're at home. We've been good at home. What are you talking about?
We beat them away. I know they'll be looking for their get back, especially since they just got beat by Arsenal. I don't know. Again, Spurs is, I'm with Mike, one of those teams that I just don't really, they don't shake me ever.
I don't never rate them.
I never have, and I never will.
I don't rate them either. I'm just afraid of a team like yours, a team like mine. Yeah. We don't have anything to play for. Them guys have something to play for. We may just, you guys.
We're trying to get in Europe, man. We're trying to get in Europe.
Europe?
Yeah.
You're already in Europe. Trust me. You don't need to go far. You're already.
And then, I guess.
City.
Should we talk about it? Because we play again. We play on Sunday, too. Yeah. So we should probably talk about Sunday. We play West Ham. I think we can. I think we'll escape this week with 4 points minimum. Yeah. Minimum. I think we get
6 point maximum. Yeah.
I honestly think we beat West. Both games are at home.
Oh, what does that mean?
You got Spurs and talking about West home Ham
matches. We've been better at home, Gabriel.
Like yeah. I don't know what you want me to say, that we play better at home than away. So if we're at home and we play two teams that we've beat already, I think we could possibly get more 6 points. Logistically, is it like that's playing? How I look at my team. So yes.
Yeah, Cole Palmer's playing. Yeah.
CP's playing.
Yeah.
Wow. CP 20. Wait, who wears number 10 for Chelsea?
Mukaila.
Oh wow! I would rip that jersey off.
Yeah, I might be coming off of coming off.
Yo, next year, I would straight up be like, "Hey, we have to just switch because I 20, you were 10. We just have to switch.
Run that, yeah. I ain't gonna lie, Cole Palmer. I had to. Hey, y'all seen the? I saw the meme where the one dude like they're in the store and he grabbed his back and
really
Yeah. Oh, that's what Cole Palmer did. Do that's working, man. Give me that.
I wouldn't even wait.
The season is over. Debut the last game of the season.
Yeah, you know, everybody debuts in New Jersey last day of the season. Yeah, this debut at 10 on Cole Palmer.
Nah, it's doable. You saw the way the Premier League ripped number 7 off Edison Cavani and gave it to Ronaldo. They ripped it. Yeah. There was a rule that said that, you know, like once you register your numbers, you can't really change your numbers. But
he said, run it.
They said,
run
he
it.
Needs, he needs, oh, we need this one, buddy. We need this
one. The numbers are going to be crazy. We need this one.
All right, cool. Shout outs. I'll go first. My big shot. I got three, actually. Three shout outs. One is Big Ange Postecoglou. Keep playing the way you want to play, mate. And my second one is Big Irony Slot. Arnie Slot. Big shout out to Arnie Slot. AS. Slot,
we're waiting you for know you. What I'm saying?
Slot of gangs. Slot of gang shit, man. And the third one is Eric Ten Hag. Shout out my manager.
I'm gonna shout out Mr. Leverkusen again. I don't know. It's so crazy to the point where an Instagram page actually posted like unbeaten no more before the game was over, and they scored literally like 2 seconds after.
No, I saw that. That's what I saw. And then I saw your guys' text, and I was like, oh,
like, man. Yeah, no, it's not over. It's just Leverkusen.
Bro, it's to the point where you can't wait.
That's until, let it happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you have to wait to
watch, especially when the clock hits 89. That's when they start. All right, it's time to play.
Shout out Leverkusen, and then shout out Ben White, man. I just want to shout out Ben White, because you know, slowly just becoming one of the best right backs in England, and I still won't put him over Kyle Walker. You know, I still have my respect for Kyle Walker, but I just think he's
overtaking right Trent.
For sure. What? For sure.
Wow.
For sure. Hey, for sure. For sure. Right. For sure.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Let me just. For sure. Because no. Because when we signed Ben White for $50 million, the slander that I heard from not just one party, because I'll point out Salam, because Varane came in that same window. So the slander I not just heard from Salam, but from all of you bums, the slander I heard, and clearly he clears it. This guy can go left back, center back, right back, invert, play wide, whatever, you score goals. Listen.
Yeah, bro, I don't want to do this with you.
Listen, I'm not even trying to hear it. Shout out my guy, Ben White.
He's the best right back in the league.
I said I still have Kyle Walker over him. I said I still have Kyle Walker over him.
No. You said, 100%. I'm sorry. You said he was.
He's better than Trent. Get him
ben
out of
White
here.
Ben White is better than
Trent. Trent, get defend. Get him out of here. I will never. No, get him out of here.
Can Ben White attack like Trent?
No, he can't hit a ball like Trent. No. But Ben White scoring? Let's look at the numbers. Let's look at the numbers.
See what Chelsea be doing to these
guys? Let's look at the numbers.
We're making people heroes, man.
No. We're not making anyone Chelsea a hero. I just want to shout out a player who I told was, you paid $50 million for this.
He's been a good
almost every, he's played almost he's every game, every season, been consistent all seasons, ever since he's come to Arsenal, lived up to the price tag, been scoring goals, getting better every single season. He will lock up your favorite winger. So I don't want to hear anything about Ben White. I don't want to hear a thing about Ben White. No. You play center back, left back, right back, wherever you need him to play.
If only Reese was healthy.
Who was the third
person? These cats would be talking like this.
It was Ben White, Varane. Who was the third person? There was a third person in there, right? It was Varane, Ben White, and then who was the third person? It was someone. Was it Fofana?
Yeah, Fofana.
Okay. So I think, respectfully, my player is the only one to lift the trophy.
What?
From that group, my player is the only one to lift the trophy.
He's not.
Yeah. For Arsenal, yeah. I haven't seen. Have you seen Ben White lift the trophy?
The proof is in the pudding. Ben White has more goals than Trent. He has the same amount of assists than Trent. So
that Fugazi cross.
Hey, listen, these are just the numbers.
I feel you.
That's all I'm saying. But you guys say, oh, he doesn't do what Trent does, and this and then the third. You guys,
he needs to work on the spray tan.
And not only does he have four assists, he will lock up your favorite winger. So please,
I don't know about that. He will
meg your favorite winger. He'll lock up your favorite winger. He'll invert. He'll play wide. He'll attack. He'll defend. Everything. Ben White, I gotta give you.
Bournemouth, do something for me. Do something for me.
That's fair.
Bournemouth draw at Emirates. Ooh,
keep praying.
He's gonna hit.
Nothing for me. No shout outs for me.
Yeah. No shout out for these bones. Nobody.
All right. Good episode, guys. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. And as always, good luck.